Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You can't fight City Hall, as the saying goes, but now everyone has the chance to maybe battle about what it looks like. Here's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh in his State of the City address back in January.
We will put out a call to reimagine City Hall Plaza as a thriving, healthy, innovative space that it should be. It's time we showed real pride in our front yard.
Now Mayor Walsh is making good on his promise. He's asking local residents to send him ideas about how to best use the underused, massive, blank brick plaza that surrounds City Hall in Boston. And already ideas are coming in. We'll hear what people are suggesting to him, and we'd like you to make suggestions to us right now. So, listeners, what do you think City Hall Plaza should look like? What would draw you and your family and your friends to the plaza? What would make you want to take out-of-town visitors there? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. Again, 1-800-423-TALK. And you can also post your suggestions on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. Today, we have two guests who spend a lot of time thinking about this issue. Brian Sermon teaches architecture at Boston University, including a course that's called Reviled Architecture, and he's working on a book about Boston's City Hall. He's in Washington today. Welcome to Radio Boston, Brian.
Thank you.
Also with us, Mike Davis, co-chair of the Boston Redevelopment Authority's Civic Design Commission. That commission has reviewed a number of proposed changes to the plaza, and he is past president of the Boston Society of Architects. You've really been working on this for a long time, a couple decades, right, Mike?
That's right, Lisa.
Well, you can tell us about some of those decades and what's happened and what hasn't happened, because I want to read to you first an article from the Boston Globe that was written by then-Globe reporter Richard Chacon, who's now with us here at WBUR. The article appeared 20 years ago in the Globe. Remember the date then, November 24th, 1995. It begins this way. Fast forward to the year 2005. A commuter to Government Center rises from the underground train station and into a glass-enclosed atrium, a winter garden filled with palm trees and tropical plants that bloom even on a chilly November morning. Yes, indeed. That is what City Hall and what Bostonians, maybe you, Mike, I don't know, were imagining 20 years ago. It didn't happen by the year 2005. It hasn't happened by 2015. But perhaps, Brian, City Hall Plaza was meant to be this big brick and concrete canvas that should be a kind of urban tabula rasa. What was the reason that we ended up with a city hall that's surrounded by 200,000 square feet of empty space with steps?
Well, I'd say it all started back in 1962 when the city announced that it would have a nationwide design competition for the design of a new city hall. And as part of that competition, architects who were submitting entries were not only designing the building, but also they were asked to think about the landscape around the building. And of the 250 entries that were submitted to that competition, there were some that envisioned park space, there were some that envisioned more street furniture, benches and tables. There were some, believe it or not, that actually envisioned more hardscape and less trees and fewer plantings than we have now. But the winning design team thought of the space as embodying something that Boston didn't have at that point. The architect said Boston already has a phenomenal park system. What Boston does not have is the kind of open-air, outdoor, multi-purpose plaza space such as you can find in numerous cities throughout Europe. And that was what they thought should surround the city hall. First of all, it would give a good vantage point from which to view the new symbol of the city hall. But also, it could host celebrations, it could host gatherings, it could host political protests. And on a normal day, it would be a place that people would travel through. The architects thought there might be an outdoor cafe there that the pushcart vendors from Haymarket might spill over into the space. So they thought of a lot of different activities taking place in this area. And I think that the brick and granite steps that we have now are much more conducive to that than some of the other designs that were submitted.
Yeah, in fact, they say about 20 to 30,000 people walk across it every day en route to someplace else. So it is kind of being used. There are some concerts there. There are some demonstrations. I think I saw Ronald Reagan speak there ages and ages ago. But the space, and Mike, you should weigh in on this as well, in the conversations that you know of that happened long, long ago, and compare them with the conversations that are happening today. What is the impetus to keep revisiting what's happening or not happening with this space, City Hall Plaza?
Right. Well, first let me say that I applaud Mayor Walsh for keeping this topic on the civic agenda. I applaud his approach today, his crowdsourcing of ideas and this kind of open-ended, you know, request for ideas for uses and proposals. You know, I think it's great because I think part of the solution to City Hall Plaza is our uses and programs, and I am sure there are some brilliant ideas out there that we don't have yet. I think that, you know, as Brian has pointed out, City Hall Plaza was a very big idea. It was a big design idea. You know, the City Hall and the Plaza was a design idea. It was important for a time. This is what the city needed at the time. And now, you know, we're a new age. The city's in a new age. It's in a new place. And I think we need new big ideas. So I think that transforming City Hall Plaza is not just about the programs and uses. It's about the design of the space.
So are you both saying that, and I know there are people who feel this way, that basically it did serve a purpose at one point?
It certainly did.
Purpose
it did. And
go ahead, Brian. The purpose being what?
Sure. Well, it was the home to numerous political protests, demonstrations, people exercising their First Amendment rights. All of the city council offices at one point overlooked the plaza, so it was a way for ordinary citizens to reach their elected officials. And also, it has hosted numerous rallies, celebrations, et cetera, over the years, from concerts to the circus to the Phantom Gourmet Food Festival to the Boston Calling.
And so how have needs changed now?
Well, I would suggest if you pull back and look at what else is going on around Government Center. I mean, the Government Center Garage, there's a whole redevelopment plan for Government Center Garage. Downtown Crossing has been radically transformed. I mean, the highway is gone. We've had a greenway, a Lakeham Bridge. And those are not, you know, kind of napkin catches ideas. Those are large ideas. And I think that the kinds of large ideas that you need to change City Hall Plaza have to do with the form and the shape of the space and the edges of the space. You know, I think that if you could imagine active edges around the space, you know, active storefronts around all around the plaza, if you can imagine, you know, sort of a slightly smaller, you know, in different shaped space, and even a softer, greener space. I think these are the kinds of transformations that, you know, I think we need a design look, a new design look at the space. And, you know, by softer and greener, I don't mean there's middle ground in between Boston Common and, you know, and several acres of brick pavement. I mean, you can bring more green, you can bring more planting and more landscaping and kind of landscape constructed edges into the space and get softer and more attractive and still be able to have, you know, a rock concert or, you know, or a political rally or a Patriots rally. So you can still use the space for those intended purposes. But with active edges, storefronts along the edges and softer edges, and more landscaping, I think it'd be a more beautiful space for when there isn't something large going on in it.
Okay, listeners, we'd like to hear from you. You just heard Mike Davis there, the co-chair of the Boston Redevelopment Authority's Civic Design Commission. We're also joined by Brian Sermon, who teaches architecture at Boston University. He's working now on a book about the history of Boston City Hall. Let's take a couple of phone calls now. Alyssa is calling from Cambridge. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to just say that I agree with everything that's been said, and I think that one of the strengths of the plaza is that it is flexible. It can provide for many different types of gatherings, but what I had always thought was that it should have some sort of flexible green greenery in it, you know, and you can do this with vertical gardens and you can do it with movable pieces of things and set up benches and that, and you could even have like sculptural type elements. That's what I would love to see.
Okay, thank you, Alyssa. And I'm kind of curious, and this is for both you, Brian, and you, Mike. I mean, if 20 years ago we had established some kind of greenery that would be mature greenery right now, why hasn't that happened? Is there an argument against it?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. First of all, there have been a number of ideas competitions and a number of proposals put forth over the years that would have greened the space. In fact, when I was listening to Mayor Walsh's speech and when I read the article in the Globe yesterday about this call for ideas, I couldn't help but remember that in 1994, Mayor Menino did the exact same thing.
Yes.
And it called for everyone from architects to school children to submit ideas.
Well, that was the article we were reading from the Boston Globe, exactly. And there were like daily meetings going on back then.
Yeah. Well, and we reviewed a proposal, the commission reviewed a proposal from the trust from City Hall Plaza, which was a Norman Leventhal project. And the biggest, most transformative ideas were not small ideas. They were bring Hanover Street, extend Hanover Street up into the plaza. And if you stand on Hanover Street now and look at City Hall Plaza, you can see where it would go. And then on between this new Hanover Street extension and the JFK building, there's a new development for new hotels and, you know, and restaurants and retail. And you could see, then you could imagine a whole new shape to the plaza and a whole active edge.
You would cut a swath right through City Hall Plaza so it would extend Hanover Street straight to Cambridge Street.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's taking away a lot of the empty space.
It is. It is. And what you return it, what you replace it with, is, as we said, Clayton, an active building edges, active storefront edges, and the kind of uses that were maybe imagined happening around City Hall Plaza could actually happen around City Hall Plaza.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Michael is calling on line 3 from South Boston. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your suggestion?
I'm 58 years old. I went to the Boston Public Schools. I'm very, you know, familiar with the city. So, you know what I was thinking? And I think it's a great idea. We have a high school and strive for having one of the most innovative high schools in the world, where the students, great, I think it's great to have, you know, green gardens and all that stuff, but have the students take care of that. Have the universities, hospitals, tech company, trades, you know, have them all, hold them all accountable, you know, so we can, you know, one of the most innovative high schools in the world, and hold, you know, everybody accountable and have everybody involved in this high school. And sure, have restaurants, but have these kids, you know, working in these restaurants and maybe have foreign high school students come. And just, you know, turn it into one of the most innovative high schools in the world.
Very interesting ideas. Michael, thank you very much for that one. And I'd like you both to weigh in on this. Also, let me just pitch in here a couple of ideas that have already come into City Hall. Perrin Adams says, how about a beer garden and restaurants? Add fire pits, ice skating area, potential liability, but still fun. Someone else says, Pass says, how about a weekly local business market? Rent-free daily spaces for a limited number of merchants. Daniel Smith tweeted to the mayor's office, I'd like to see maybe some tennis courts, basketball courts, or a community swimming pool. Someone else said, on one of our websites, we should dump all the snow on City Hall Plaza. There is an open space available for that.
My neighborhood.
And Daniel, every neighborhood. Dan Hazelwood says, take Boston 2024's plan for an Olympic volleyball stadium and drop it on City Hall Plaza. Let me ask you this. Is it incumbent on the planners to come up with ideas that would produce revenue for the city or for the merchants in the city?
I don't think that that's necessarily that necessarily should be the goal here. I think that this is a public space and it should be celebrated as a public space, not necessarily one that's going to be a revenue generator.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's plenty of new economic activity planned around City Hall Plaza. The whole Government Center neighborhood is, I can say, a giant influx of development capital. So I think I agree with that.
Can either of you tell us about the failure of one major idea of the past? That one came from the cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes, that was in 1997. Yo-Yo Ma had teamed up with a landscape architect to design a garden at City Hall Plaza that would have been inspired by J.S. Bach's cello suite in G major. And initially, it seemed to get the backing of the city leaders. Mayor Menino came out publicly and declared his support for it, thanked Yo-Yo Ma for his vision. But eventually, the city canceled the project and deemed it too complex. So Yo-Yo Ma took his idea up to Toronto, which enthusiastically embraced it. And now if you walk along Toronto's waterfront, you'll see this wonderful park inspired by great music.
And apparently they did not think it was too complex.
No.
No, I thought that was a brilliant part of the Trust for City Hall Plaza's plan, and it was illustrative of, I mean, landscape architecture is one of the most progressive design disciplines around these days, and the middle ground, as I said earlier, between a giant usable park and a few potted plants along the street, there's a lot of middle ground now, and kind of urban landscape urbanism can infiltrate its way into hardscape spaces and animate and soften, you know, in a way that it really hadn't been conceptually able to do, you know, decades ago.
Okay. Well, thanks to you both. And keep those suggestions coming in at radioboston.org and at Radio Boston. And the mayor says that he wants to receive in his office any and all ideas by May 4th. So you can send suggestions to him at hashtag City Hall Plaza. Mike Davis, co-chair of the Boston Redevelopment Authority Civic Design Commission. The commission has reviewed a number of proposed changes to the plaza. And Brian Sermon, who teaches architecture at Boston University. He's working on a book now about City Hall. Nice to talk to you both. Thanks a lot, and thanks, listeners, for all your suggestions.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, Alice Hoffman's new children's book, Nightbird, is out today. She talks to us about monsters, witches, and teens with wings, all set in the Berkshires. I'm Lisa Mullins with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.